Good morning. Here we are, another wonderful morning in God's Word with wonderful saints. And today we're going to look at the importance of loving God in the manifestations. We just heard God told us over and over again how much He loves us. And that is wonderful to remember that, because as we all know, sometimes people love us, sometimes they don't care about us at all. But whether people love us and are on our side or not, God is always there. What a great treat that is. So we'll talk about the importance of loving God and doing so with wonderful thanksgiving. Because the more thankful we are, and to me, thankfulness is very simple. It's just a matter of remembering what God's done for us. Because we always have good things happening to us. We always have things that are sort of moderate and neutral, and occasionally we have bad things happening to us. And we can sometimes forget what God has done. So thanksgiving is so important. So loving God with thanksgiving. Let's start in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Here we are in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. We, of course, hear this quoted in the Gospels, which we'll read later, but what a great commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, and might. That's the first commandment. That's the first thing God wants. And that's so important to know. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Welcome. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, Mom, and verse 4. Glad to have you guys. Here in Deuteronomy 6, 4, we read, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That's always the first thing God has wanted us to do. Whether you're reading the law, the gospels, the epistles, throughout time, regardless of administration, God has always wanted us to love Him. And that's very important, because to do so means we're thankful, we're remembering what God's done for us, and it just makes life tremendously great when we love God. I can think of times in my life when I was very, very happy, which is a great deal of the time, and every time I can think, I don't always consciously think of it, but when I do stop to think about it, I realize one of the main things giving me happiness is that I simply love God. I know He loves me, I know I love Him, and I have the joy of sharing that love with other people. There's so much in the scriptures about what we as Christians are encouraged to do. Sometimes it gets overwhelming, but to be able to handle it mentally, we often have to simplify it in our minds. And if you did nothing else besides know God loves you, consciously make a decision to love Him, and then do all you can to share that love with others, you're going to have a great life. The other details will just work out. I think Dr. Werwell used to say, love God, love your neighbor, then do as you dang well please. Doesn't quite say that in the scriptures, but it's a good sort of summary there. We just simply have to love God and know that He loves us. So let's look at Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 again. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. This is such a great topic. I try to teach it every year at least once, sometimes twice. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would, or He wanted, to keep the oath which He'd sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God did all those mighty miracles to get the children of Israel out from under the slavery they were in Egypt for only two reasons. Because He loved His people and He wanted to keep His promise. And that's still the reason God does so many things for us. He loves us and he wants to keep his promises to us. Now let's look at Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. He's the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that what? Love him. The first thing it says here, he keeps covenant and mercy, means he keeps his promises and he shows great mercy, great loving kindness with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So loving God is very, very important. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Here we go in Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. Deuteronomy 10, 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear or reverence the Lord, to walk in all his ways, and to what? Love him, and serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So simply loving God and doing what he says is, even in the Old Testament times, how people were able to have such great lives. Deuteronomy 11, verse 1. Therefore thou shalt, what? Love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge, and his statutes, and his judgments, and his commandments always. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement or the discipline of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm, his miracles, his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh the king of Egypt, and unto all this land, what he did unto the army of Egypt. And then it goes on and talks about all the great things God did for them. But the first thing it says in verse 1 is, therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God. That's the place to start. Everything else in the Christian walk follows from knowing God loves you, you love him in return, and then you share that love with others. That's sort of the foundation. There are many other things in the scriptures. We know about the return of the Lord. We know about prayer. We know about the manifestations of Holy Spirit. We know so many other things in the scriptures. But the basis of it all is knowing God loves you, you love God in return, and then you share that love with others. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. If there arise among you, in Deuteronomy 13, 1, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, the prophet who tells you to go worship other gods. Thou shalt not hearken or listen unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you. He's testing you. He's letting you take a quiz to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So there will be times where people will come and encourage you to do things that are worshiping other gods. And God is giving you a quiz to find out if you really love him. Because God gives us freedom of will, and that's how he finds out whether we love him, is whether we do follow his word and do what he says. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. Here in Deuteronomy 30, and verse 15. See, Deuteronomy 30, 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to what? Love the Lord thy God. First thing. And it goes and says other things, but it always starts with loving the Lord your God. Because if you don't start with loving God, then you're just going through the motions and a bunch of religious activities. And there are things God wants us to do, but if it's not based on loving him, then it's just empty Phariseeism, where you're trying to look better among other people by following certain rules. But again, here in Deuteronomy 30, 15, see, I've set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments. Why? That thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. verse 17, but if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. That thou mayest, what, verse 20? Love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. So again, loving God is so important. So many people get wrapped up in activities and responsibilities and organizations and good works, all of which have their place in the Christian walk. But if they don't start with loving God, there's no profit to it. So if you had to pick, am I going to love God or run around like crazy doing stuff? Definitely pick loving God. And then only do those things which you can clearly see are going to be a blessing to God, his people, and your own life. But it's loving God what you really have to do. Deuteronomy chapter, or Joshua 22. Here they are. In Deuteronomy, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. Then they crossed over under Joshua. And here in Joshua 22, they've crossed over. They've claimed much of the land God promised them in Canaan. And they've been there for a while. In Joshua 22, verse 1, then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Because remember, these are the ones that wanted to stay on the east side of Jordan rather than cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan. And the word of the Lord was, you can have that land, but you first have to cross the Jordan and help your brethren from the other tribes chase out all the various people there. And when they're settled, then you can go back to the east side of the Jordan again and claim your land. So then Joshua called, in Joshua 22:1, then Joshua called the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said unto them, you have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return you, and get you unto your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you on the other side Jordan. Now look at verse 5. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses the servant of the Lord charged you. Now what's the first thing again? To love the Lord your God. So first thing you have to do is love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Wonderful. Psalm 59. Here we go in Psalm 59. Verse 16, but I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy or thy loving kindness in the morning. For thou hast been my refuge, my defense and my refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. So that's what I'm going to do. In the morning when I get up, I'm not going to talk about how groggy I am and why didn't the coffee pot start and all the things I have to do. Instead, I'm going to sing about God's power. I'm going to sing about his mercy or his loving kindness because he has been my defense. He's my strength. That's why I sing about him. And that's a great thing to talk about, is how much God loves you. The more you can focus on that, the less all of the challenges of daily life will seem overwhelming. And we do get overwhelmed with the challenges of daily life at times. It happens to all of us. But the more we simply love God and sing and speak and think about how much we love God, the more we have the perspective we need to just abundantly be thankful and abundantly live, because we're remembering how much God loves us, so we are confident that He'll be there when we need His help. Psalm 119. Great psalm. Mentions the Word of God in every verse. Psalm 119 and verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. And when we love God's Word, we're in essence loving God, because His Word is His message to us. So when we love His message to us, we love Him. Oh, how do I love thy law? It is my meditation all the day. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 113. I hate vain or empty thoughts, but thy law do I love. That's what I love, is God's word. Psalm 119 and verse 163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. That's what I love. And you see, these are things we're going to run into vain thoughts. We're going to run into lying. But rather than spend all our time being upset when we run into these things, we just remember to love God's word. Verse 165. This is one of my favorite verses. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them or be a stumbling block, cause them to stumble. You see, if we love God's word, we have great peace, because we're thinking about how much God loves us. We're thinking about how faithful He is. We're thinking about how He brings us deliverance from all of life's difficulties. And we have great peace because we know God will always come through for us. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them or be a stumbling block or cause them to stumble. That is so danged awesome. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. After all this whole book with such great wisdom and so many nuggets of truth, here's the conclusion. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, or reverence God, and in reverencing Him we show our love to Him and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. If we just have great reverence, great respect, great love for God, and we keep His word, that's the whole duty of man. It's very simple. And in Matthew 22, we'll hear an echo of what we started with in Deuteronomy. Matthew 22. And this is probably in the other Gospels as well, but we'll just read it in Matthew. Here we are in Matthew 22 and verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that He put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked Him a question, tempting Him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? In the law. He figured maybe He'd trick him up. Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Right out of Deuteronomy. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And it's interesting when you talk to different Christian groups. Some have picked a political point of view, and they think they're applying the Bible to their political situation, and it's fascinating to me how people can do this with very right-wing and very left-wing points of view, but they think that's the main responsibility of Christians, is to follow their political point of view. Others will take some kind of point of view on what kind of diet you should have, and they'll pull out Old Testament rules about what foods you should eat. Others will, pick something else. And everybody has all these things, and their group tends to go nuts on one or two things that they think are the most important things. And you got to do what our group says or you're not a Christian or not a good Christian. Yet what does Jesus Christ say? Love God and love your neighbor. I don't think I've ever run into a Christian group that's all adamant and pounding the podium and saying, this is what you got to do to be a good Christian, say that. They usually have some other point of view that's the big deal to them. And we've all seen many, many of them. And there may be value. I'm not saying there's no value in the other stuff they're talking about. But if you really, really want to serve God and be a good Christian, love God and love your neighbor. And I wouldn't get so worried about the other stuff. It may or may not be of value. But loving God and loving your neighbor is absolutely the truth of what we want to do. So let's read that again. Verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Great stuff. Let's go to John chapter 15. John 15. And verse 9. John 15, 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So that is great. What he says there is, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in his love. It's very simple. Simply living God's word, we're walking in the love of God. That's what you have to do. Because sometimes it gets very confusing about how do I walk in the love of God? Well, just do what his word says. Some people may like it. Some people may hate it. Some people may say you're doing a great job. Some people may rail on you because you're not running around doing what they or their group thinks. But simply living God's word, loving God, you abide in his love. Let's go to Romans. You can go roaming around your Bible if you want. Go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Here we go. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that what? Love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. And in the context, it's talking about praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. But again, at the basis of it is loving God. And to be called according to his purpose simply means to be living his word. So when we love God, endeavor to walk in his word, we all things will work together for good. And that's why we don't have to worry about all of life's little decisions. We sometimes get all down on ourselves or all upset when something goes wrong or we decide to turn one way and it doesn't turn out to be the best path. Well, obviously we want to do our best to walk with God and to listen to God. We all want to. But at the end of the day, every one of us is going to make a decision on what to do. And all things work together for good. When we love God, live his word, and speak in tongues. It'll all work out. So you don't have to worry about the details. Like somebody once said, don't sweat the small stuff, or don't sweat the details. We don't have to. Well, somebody once said, don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff. Again, it's not in the scriptures, but it fits pretty well here, because it says, all things will work together for good. So don't worry about every detail. Just pray, love God, enjoy your life. What's it say somewhere, whereto we've already attained, let's mind the same things? So those things that we've figured out from God's word, none of us has all of God's word figured out, but we've all found some parts of God's word that work pretty well in our lives and help us live peacefully and prosperously and successfully. Stick with what you know. And then it goes on to say, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So we just go live God's word. Do our best to walk in love. Do our best to stay with those things we've seen work in our lives from God's word. And if we get off the track, God will show us. So we don't have to spend a lot of time sweating and worrying. We don't have to get what I often call perfection paralysis, where I'm so worried about doing something wrong that I do nothing. Don't want to do that. Just go live God's word, enjoy your life. Be thankful for what God's done for us. Really love God. And then if you're off the ball, God will show you. And then you can get back on track. So all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now 1 John chapter 4, this is a very important one. Why it is we love God. Because as you all know, in any relationship between two parties, somebody's sort of got to start by showing love and kindness. Then the other person can respond however they want. But if one person doesn't start, there's never any kind of working relationship or friendship or love or anything. Well, God started. 1 John 4, verse 19. Here we go. We love him because he what? First loved us. God loved us, so our natural response is to love him in return. And people start out this way in various kinds of relationships, whether they're personal relationships, business relationships, relationships within some organization where they're working together. And as long as both people continue to walk in love, it will continue. But when one or both parties stop walking in love, then it ends. Well, God is always going to love us. So he is always there supporting us and helping us. Oh, and one thing we didn't read in Romans 8 was that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is always going to love us. It's the only question is, do we respond by loving him in return? And when we do respond by loving him in return, we are much better off. We benefit greatly. He'll still love us regardless, but when we love him in return, then we benefit and our lives are much better for it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. So you're wondering, am I loving my brothers and sisters in Christ enough? Well, if you love God and you walk his word, then you're loving the children of God. There are people that will tell you, you have to get involved in my group, or you have to get involved in my charity event, or you have to vote the way I want politically, or one of a dozen other things they may tell you to show you're a good Christian. Well, it says here, we know, let's read that again, 1 John 5, 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not overbearing. They're not impossible to live. They're not burdensome. Now, if you go to the Old Testament law, you could consider that burdensome. There were so many sacrifices and feasts and restrictions on what they could eat and what they could wear and who they could talk to. But we live in the age of grace. God's commandments are not burdensome. So let's read that again. This is the love of God, verse 3, when we keep his commandments and his commandments are not grievous. So it's very, very important to A, know God loves us, B, actively love him in return, and C, turn around and share that love with others, because we are the living epistles. We are the ones walking God's word. When people see God's love in our lives, not everybody, but a lot of people are going to look at it and say, I want some of that. I want to be able to be like that. And those are the people we can help. And along the way, we have to remember to be thankful, because so much of loving God is simply being thankful for what he's done for us. When we stop to remember and think about what he's done for us, we're naturally going to love him. I mean, look at your life. Some person comes and gives you a gift or does some great thing to really help you. Isn't your natural response to love them even more? Well, being thankful for what God's done for us leads to that natural response that we want to love God. So let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Remember we read, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We see a sort of a continuation of that thought here in Colossians 3 and verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And to do that, you have to focus on God and His Word, actively love Him, and then when you're thinking about how much God loves you and how He's always taken care of you, you'll have great peace. And you should let the peace of God rule in your hearts. It should be the dominant thing in your heart is the peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you're also called in one body, and be you what? Thankful. We have to be thankful. And as I've said many times, there are many ways to be thankful, but something somebody told me years ago that still is very effective. If you're having a problem being thankful and you find yourself being too negative, make a list of 5 or 10 things that you're thankful for. You have food to eat. You have a roof over your head. God loves you. You have other wonderful things in your life. It'll vary for each of us. And then every night before you go to bed, just read that list. You'll go to bed not being worried about what went wrong during the day or being worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, but just being thankful for what God's done for you. You'll have great peace. You'll have great love for God. And you'll just have a smooth life. So, Colossians 3, again, verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you've also been called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace or thanksgiving in your hearts to the Lord. And one to wrap up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. I love this. This is almost like shorthand. It's a little summary of some of the great things in the Christian walk. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice. Well, what do you have to rejoice about? Everything in God's Word. I mean, obviously, you got things in your life you should rejoice about, but even if everything in your life's not going the way you want, you still can rejoice in everything Jesus Christ accomplished for us and God's great love for us. So rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything what? Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In every situation, there's something to give thanks about. There may be things you're not thankful for, but there's something to give thanks about. Maybe you're stuck in traffic and you're late for your meeting. Okay, but do you still have Holy Spirit? Yep. Are you still breathing? Yep. Is your car still running? Yep. Did you have breakfast that morning? Yep. Did you have your coffee made just the way you like it? Yep. And you can just go on and on about the number of things to be thankful for. Or you can spend all your time being upset that you're stuck in traffic. I'd rather be thankful. I'd rather be thankful and just pray that I get through the traffic and that I survive the rest of the day. And you know, I always do, and you do too. So just to summarize, it's important to actively love God. It's important to know God loves you. It's important to share God's love with others, and it's important to be very, very thankful and remind yourself, actively remind yourself, because our brains tend to go to worst-case scenario and get upset about that one thing that's not going right. Well, pray that that one thing works out. Do all you can to help that one thing, but remember to love God and be thankful for what He has done, because not only is that what the Word of the Lord says to do, but it will help you believe and be more confident that God will help you with this next challenge. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for your wonderful love, for these wonderful saints on the line today, for those that will listen to this in the future. May you bless them abundantly as you promised to do when they simply look to you, trust you, and expect your blessings in all of their lives. Thank you for this and the joy of being born again, the joy of looking forward to your Son's return, and the joy of living every day knowing you love us, we can love you in return, and knowing we have so much love to share with others because of what you've given us in the new birth. Thank you for your joy and kindness. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, God bless you, wonderful saints. If the Lord tarries, we'll meet again in 2 weeks and look at more great truths in God's Word. God bless you.